Track 13.
Good afternoon and welcome to our second programme called How Do People Learn? The speaker is Professor Randy Onyx, Head of Applied Linguistics at the University of Hamilton.
As I said last week, many people have tried to explain how we learn things, like how to drive, how to play a musical instrument, or how to speak a foreign language. There are many different theories for this, of course, and people are coming up with new ideas every day. And one of the most popular theories in the first half of the 20th century was called behaviorism, and its influence is still felt 100 years on. Indeed, I'd go so far as to say the central tenets of behaviorism are still present in much teaching and learning that goes on today. The theory of behaviorism is this: if you make someone do something and give them a prize, a reward when they do it correctly, and if you do this again and again and again, then they'll learn to do it every time. And once they've learned to do it in this way, it will, in the end, no longer be necessary to give them that prize. The whole theory of behaviorism, in other words, depends on habit formation. That is, getting people so habituated to a task that they do it without thinking. Now, there are many examples of this type of habit formation. The Russian researcher Pavlov, for example, taught his dogs that the sound of a bell ringing meant that they were going to be given food. As a result, every time he rang the bell, the dog salivated, even in the end when there was no food. Then there were all the experiments with rats. When the rats saw a light, they had to press a bar in their cages. When they pressed the bar, they got some food. They did it again and again and again. In the end, they learned to press the bar every time they saw the light. But perhaps my favorite example of this kind of experiment happened in the United States way back in 1920. Two researchers called Watson and Rayner experimented on a young boy who had a beautiful pet rabbit. Watson and Rayner wanted to see if they could train Albert to feel differently about his rabbit. And so every time he went near the animal, they made a terrible noise. And quite naturally, little Albert became frightened. They did this again and again until the poor boy developed a phobia, first just about rabbits, then about animals in general, and finally anything with fur. Every time Albert came face to face with an animal or a fur coat, he'd start to show symptoms of terrible fear, crying, feeling sick, and feeling faint. Watson and Rayner were really pleased. "This just shows that our theory works," they said. Then they talked to Albert's parents. "Can we go on with the experiment?" they asked. "We can turn it round and make Albert love rabbits again." But Albert's parents told them, for some reason, to go away. Watson and Rayner's experiment sounds absolutely terrible to us today, but the idea of conditioning is still around. If people do the same thing enough times and get continual encouragement or discouragement, the doing of it will become automatic. They will be able to do it without thinking. Not all learning is the result of conditioning, though. Other researchers have said that intelligence and creativity matter, too. But that's the subject of my next talk. Until then, goodbye.